This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dead center of the work week. Here we are. We made it to the top of the mountain. And we got a lot of fun stuff planned over the next couple hours to make this go really quickly. So we're going to scoot you off into your hump day if you're just waking up on a Wednesday. Or we're going to help you wrap up this hump show in style if you work the same hours as we do. We do get to the weekend a lot faster working these overnight hours. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We are roughly a half hour away from Ask Amy Anything, so you can send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Look for the bright orange box. And in addition, we're asking you a question yourself. You get to ask me, I get to ask you, what is your one big goal for 2020? Something you'd like to accomplish, a promise you want to keep, maybe a big challenge that you've been putting off but you're ready to tackle. Your one big goal for 2020. And no, not a resolution to lose weight. Although I if that's a really big goal for you and something that you've been putting off, I understand. But we all want to go to the gym more in the upcoming year. We all want to eat healthier. I want to sleep more, but maybe that's just me. I'm talking about something out of the ordinary. Not a resolution that you can laugh about when you've stopped following through 3 weeks into the new year. No. We're talking about a big goal that will test you and stretch you and take you out of your comfort zone. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Thomas says on Twitter, my one big goal for 2020, this is a sports goal, to go to more baseball and hockey games. Can I be perfectly honest? My 2020 goal, most of my 2020 goals have nothing to do with sports. Nope. I'm thinking outside this realm in which I work. So yeah, find us on social media, and while you're there, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Okay, I'll just admit it. When I saw this next headline on Tuesday, I laughed. And then I said, duh. Yes, of course, there are other teams in Major League Baseball who have been stealing signs using electronics. And it should surprise no one that a team that already got disciplined for using an Apple Watch to steal signs, who has a manager that was part of the Houston Astros in 2017 when they are accused of stealing signs, it should surprise no one that that team, the Red Sox, is also now facing accusations of sign stealing. And apparently they come from inside the Red Sox organization. Here's why people never get away with anything these days. Because on social media, people love to break a story. Even if it's anonymous, they like to see their story and their inside information go viral. And that's what happens. A story like this, scintillating and scandalous, it goes viral within minutes. And so it's no doubt that there are people inside the Red Sox organization who are interested in letting it be known that the Astros weren't the only team that were using electronics to steal signs in 2018, though. Uh-oh. 2018, of course, being the year that the Boston Red Sox, I can't remember how many games they won, 105, I think. 105 games and 108 games. Oh, see, I gypped them by three games. 108 games. And, of course, the World Series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. So interesting that in 17 and 18, the World Series champs are accused of sign stealing. Our friend David Sampson, who is the longtime president of the Marlins, is on CBS Sports HQ. He has his own podcast. One of the reasons we love to have him on the show periodically is because he pulls no punches. Oh, he was doing the same thing on CBS Sports HQ when this news broke on Tuesday.
If you think for one second that the Red Sox and the Astros are the only teams who are out there trying to steal signs and communicate those signs to their batter, you are sorely mistaken. 30 teams do it. It is very frustrating for me to listen to other teams come out and act holier than thou, upset and angry with the Astros or the Red Sox. The only reason to be upset with the Astros and the Red Sox is because you're jealous of them that you weren't as good as they were as getting your signs, that you weren't as smart as they were. It's the reason we were always jealous of the Rays. You've heard me talk about it, nothing personal. I admit it. Of course I was jealous of the Rays. Can you imagine a low payroll and you win games? I always had a low payroll and didn't win games. Of course you're going to be jealous. And if they're smart enough to steal my signs, that's my fault. But MLB is losing its mind. But let's dig deeper. Why is MLB upset? Well, it's all about the integrity of the game. You've got World Series champions who are now accused of cheating. You've got other teams who are calling them out, which they shouldn't. But here's the rub. Back when I started, gambling was not really looked at too kindly by Major League Baseball. Gambling on games was unheard of. Now, it is a huge revenue source. MLB has a deal with MGM. Ever heard of the Bellagio? The MGM Grand? National Harbor in D.C.? Yes, it is a huge revenue source for baseball. Anything that cuts to the integrity of the game, that gives an advantage, that's a problem.
David Sampson on CBS Sports HQ. So he points back to the integrity of the game, that phrase that we hear very often in the NFL. Because, and it shouldn't be the only reason, but he does point to a heightened sense of concern about preserving the integrity of the game for commissioners like Roger Goodell and like Rob Manfred, because you have to avoid all appearances of evil if you're going to be dabbling in the gambling arena. Now, it may be much ado about nothing. Fans may not care as much as these sports believe, but what they're saying is we want to be associated with sports books. We want to be associated with gambling establishments. So we need to maintain that we're doing it on the up and up and that we're not in any way allowing our teams to illegally affect the outcome of games. We're not in any way orchestrating results. So that's kind of the idea. They want this dividing line, this line of demarcation. Yes. With gambling on our sport becoming legal in more and more places and becoming more and more prevalent, it's more important than ever that in the public eye, we maintain integrity. And that there's no question that everything is being done above board, meaning there's a competitive playing field and that the league addresses all concerns about how teams may be tilting that playing field in their favor. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, you may remember that with the Astros, the sign stealing was about using, a trash can. As high tech as that is. But it's about using the cameras from center field, from the center field angle, and there was one that would be right close to the dugout And so they would see the signs and then would bang on trash cans to indicate fastball, off-speed pitch, blah, blah, blah. In the case of the Red Sox, The Athletic is reporting that players would actually go to the replay room, would take the time to decipher the signs, and then would send that information back to the dugout. So the Red Sox were using their video replay room and were kind of going through the sequences as they watched them with opposing pitchers and catchers. Different than what the Astros were doing, where they were using cameras that were out there on the field. And both of these are kind of products of what's happened lately in sports, which is more and more technology. You know why replay rooms were instituted? You know why teams have replay rooms? So that they can see the replays and decide whether or not they want to challenge them. That's why these replay rooms are now prevalent in Major League Baseball, because we've added challenges to replay. We've allowed managers now to challenge calls. So you take that step and you put that video equipment where teams can use it, and of course they're going to exploit it. Of course they are. And I tend to agree with David Sampson that if you really think these are the only two teams that are finding innovative ways, creative ways to exploit the replay room, well, then you're just being naive. So according to a source who was with the Red Sox in 2018, and this is again through The Athletic, quote, it's cheating. Because if you're using a camera to zoom in on the crotch of the catcher to break down the sign system and then take that information and give it out to the runner, he doesn't have to steal it. So they were actually taking the time. This wasn't an immediate thing. They were taking the time behind the scenes in the replay room to zoom in, use the technology, zoom in, and based on their experience, figure out what the signs were, and then pass them back out to the field. And another Red Sox source said it was only done during 2018. I guess if you were cynical, you could say, well, that's why the Red Sox sucked in 2019. I'm sure it's not that simple. So here is the second team to be formally accused from someone who is inside the organization of stealing signs. And of course, Major League Baseball is now going to investigate this as well. By the way, and this is just, I'm passing along the report. I can't confirm or deny. The Athletic talked to other Red Sox sources who said they couldn't steal signs during the postseason that year because Major League Baseball had people stationed in all the video replay review rooms. So, in other words, baseball probably recognized that this system could be exploited and put hall monitors with the replay rooms so that you couldn't have players in there taking advantage of the technology. That makes me laugh. Baseball says, hey, we're not going to worry about it during the regular season, but once we get to the postseason, we're going to guard the replay rooms. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We'll get to your calls here next, 855-212-4227. What is your one big goal for 2020? On Twitter, on Facebook, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Check out my column. Always fun to hear from you, especially when we're a little bit off the beaten path.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the power line. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw to the end zone. Touchdown!
Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Center's helping. Into the end zone. Touchdown!
The people have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week. The Houston Texans.
Deshaun calls for the ball. Keeper, right side, Watson, 15. Watson cutting inside, 10. The 5 still going down to the goal line. Rough and roll. Touchdown, Deshaun Watson on the run.
Honestly, they gave their best shot. You know, in that first half, we knew exactly what they were going to do in the second half. And, you know, all we had to do is just kind of, you know, get back on routine and find that rhythm, especially on offense and the defense. You know, J.J. with the sack and the guys making heck of a plays.
You chose Deshaun Watson for your touchdown of the week. And even though it wasn't the signature moment from Wildcard Weekend, his 20-yard touchdown run in which he fought his way into the end zone, the first score for the Texans late in the third quarter, really sparked that offense and turned everything around in the Wildcard game against the Bills. Thanks so much for all of your votes. Mark Vandermeer with the call on the Texans Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Did I already say this? It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. We're asking you your one big goal for 2020. And no, I do not expect it to be a sports answer. My answer is not from the world of sports. Let's talk to Tony, who's listening in Cleveland. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, thanks for taking the call from beautiful tropical Cleveland, Amy.
I got you. I love Northeast Ohio. It's okay.
I know. We love your show. I love the personal side of what you do. So thank you. Keep it up. Don't ever stop it.
Okay.
My resolution is, in addition to working for a major healthcare provider here, I'm a screenwriter, and I've written 4 pieces, feature films, but it's the 5th one that's become the focus of my resolution. About 6 years ago, I visited the Air Force Museum in Dayton, and they have a Holocaust memorial display there, and there's a particular item on display that just captivated me when I read the story behind it. And so for 5 years, as I finished up one thing, I turned my attention to maybe write a story about it. And I come to find out that the man who donated it is still alive.
Wow.
He and his wife, he's 96. And I've been able to make contact through him, with him. And we've met on a couple occasions and talked about it and looking at it. And so I'm writing the story of this man who escaped Nazi Germany came to America, and shortly after Pearl Harbor was able to don the American uniform and go back to war. Unfortunately, not in his homeland, but in the Pacific. But it's his work that he did when he came back for the government that makes his story particularly intriguing, is that he's face-to-face with Nazis once again, you know, when he came back. So it's a captivating story, and I want to get, it's going to look like a mini series, but I want to get some of this written and hopefully moving, if I can, for him to be able to see something.
Absolutely. I mean, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's not only about him, but it's unfortunately about some of his extended family members who were not so fortunate to escape. So it's going to highlight, but that's, you know, it's a major thing for me.
I can only imagine the wealth of stories and knowledge and experience and history he has to share, because my own grandmother is a few months away from being 98. And when I can tap into her memories and listen to her stories, I mean, I could spend days just asking her questions about the past, and especially if his memory is still sharp. My grandma sometimes repeats stories now and then, but for the most part, she still remembers a lot of stuff. And if she doesn't, she'll ask somebody, and then it'll kind of jog her memory. And so, yeah, I mean, she's seen so much, as I can imagine he has too.
Well, yeah, and it's every time I talk with him and meet with him, I grow to love this man. And and I can, you look into his face, and even you can still see the young face in it, you know, the young eyes there, and it makes you wonder what his experience was like. Terrible and yet victorious, but it's just, that's my resolution.
That's amazing. A big goal for 2020. Well, Tony, I hope you get it accomplished. Thanks so much for sharing it.
Thank you, Amy. Have a great day.
You too. Let's talk to Roger, who's in Wisconsin. Roger, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. I called about a month ago. You're the one that cost me an increased data plan. You are almost going to ask why I was skeptical to listen to your show, and you're kind enough to not put me on the spot. Do you remember that call?
I don't, but I'm not surprised. It's fine. I wouldn't put someone on the spot like that. You don't have to have a reason for not liking the show. It's a free country. Some people like my voice. Some people don't. Some people don't want to hear a female talking about sports. I mean, it doesn't really matter to me why, as long as I won you over.
Yep, you got me now. But anyway, I wanted to know your opinion. I'm a purist, and personally, I hate this idea, but when you're talking about all the sign stealing that's going on and seems to be increased technology along with it,
right?
What do you think the chances are of some sort of direct verbal communication between pitchers and catchers so there's no finger signs to be stolen?
Right, so the issue with that is then it possibly could increase or slow down the pace of play. So increase the average time per game and slow down the pace of play. And that's something that Rob Manfred is absolutely opposed to. And so they're trying to limit the number of mound visits, right? They're trying to limit the time in between pitches so that they can keep the game moving along. So if you start then allowing more verbal communication, by that I'm assuming you mean visits to the mound, just some way that they could communicate. Because if you're yelling from the mound to the catcher, there are going to be other guys who can hear it. So it would have to be something that was done kind of up close and personal with the glove over the mouth. Well, then that goes against what baseball is trying to do now, which is keep the game moving along.
I was more referring to electronic, like a headset.
Oh, no way. Absolutely not. No, 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 no. I get what you're saying. Like a coach and a quarterback?
Yes.
Except that, well, then what happens when you need other people on your own team to know the signs as well?
Well, the direct communication between catcher and pitcher as far as what the next pitch is going to be. That's what I was referring to.
Right. No, I gotcha. But there are sometimes, I mean, based on what the catcher puts down for a pitcher, you often have the infielders using that sign to then direct the outfield in a particular way or to know what pitch is coming.
Takes defensive strategy out of play.
Yeah. It definitely does. No way. I'm a purist. Absolutely not. I don't even like the fact that that we've got that beeping with the balls and the strikes. That bothers me. Or that we have the strike zone, the pitch zone, talking about replacing home plate umpires with robots. No, I believe the human element is a part of sports that we shouldn't eliminate.
All right. I'm right with you. I love your show.
All right, Roger, thanks so much. Sorry about your data plan. 855-212-4227, that's our toll-free line. You can also find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Corey says this, after losing my dad to cancer last year, my goal is to spend more time and make more memories with my three sons and my baby on the way. Corey, that's an amazing goal for 2020. And as someone who is down to my last grandparent, so my Grammy Helen in Wisconsin, the one that I mentioned is about to be 98. She's my last grandparent. My mom's parents died. I mean, it's been, gosh, my grandmother died the week after 9/11. So it's going on now 20 years and even longer for my grandpa that I haven't had those two grandparents around. My paternal grandfather died when I was 3. He died of lung cancer. And so I didn't really know him. But I cherish the time with my Grammy. So there's nothing like losing someone to remind you how valuable the people that you still have in your life that are still here on earth and to remind you not to take that time for granted. So, Corey, I think that's a perfect goal. It really is the time we spend with people and the impact we make on people that is our lasting legacy here on earth. The goals for 2020 can be anything. I don't care what they are, but I'm not looking for something in sports. So I hope that you're thinking bigger than that. for sure. And a lot of you still writing me to share how you feel about your new coaching hire, some of the musical chairs that we've seen, the dominoes that we've seen drop. Straight ahead, even as you're weighing in on various topics, you can find us and send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So you can do that on either Facebook or on Twitter, because that is coming up next. It's part of our Hump Show.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is that time of the week again, our Hump Show, and for a lot of you, our first Ask Amy Anything of 2020. So I am assuming that we're going to start this puppy off with a bang. Thanks, as always, for your questions to our Twitter, After Hours CBS, or also on our Facebook page. And I usually go back and try to answer a bunch of them when I am done fielding these questions from Chris. So you should always check back on our social media and see whether or not I answered your question. If it's easy, I'm not going to wax philosophical on our social media, but thanks so much for tuning in. And producer Chris, I hope that you have enough questions, good questions, that don't want to know my Super Bowl prediction.
Over the next 12 or 13 minutes or so, let's find out, shall we? We'll start with Mark, who wants to know, Amy, what TV shows are you currently hooked on?
Oh, goodness. I'm wrapped up in Jack Ryan Season 2 on Amazon Prime. So good. Oh, my gosh. And I use it as incentive to get things done around the house or to get on the bike and ride so that I can watch. Because I can do about 11 miles on my bike while I'm watching one episode of Jack Ryan. So it works out pretty well. Let's see what else. Oh, I just got Big Little Lies Season 2. And so I've started watching that as well. The spring, quote-unquote, round of my favorite crime dramas, Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, those are returning tonight. I'm trying to think about what else. Oh, Hawaii Five-0 just did a crossover with Magnum P.I., so I have that one on my DVR. All kinds of stuff. I'm a shill for crime dramas. I'm all about it. So, yeah, those would be the shows I'm watching right now.
Another TV-related question from Billy, who uses the hashtag Star Wars Nerd Always, so bonus points for that. He wants to know, Amy, what are your thoughts on watching The Mandalorian on Disney Plus?
I'm not. I don't have Disney Plus. I don't plan on getting it. Maybe that means I'm a Star Wars fraud in your eyes, but all of the Star Wars movies, except for the most recent two, you can get on cable TV every now and then. Not to mention, I can get them at the library if I want them. And this sounds odd, maybe, but I'm a little Star Wars'd out right now. I've put so much into it over the past 4 or 5 years that I'm ready for a bit of a break. And baseline, I'm not paying for any more TV. I pay for a lot of TV. Actually, this is a cool Christmas gift, you guys. My brother renewed my Amazon Prime for his Christmas gift. I was really thankful for that. So I pay for a lot of other stuff. And when it comes to sports TV and being able to cover sports, I have to pay for, you know, extra channels and extra coverage like SiriusXM so I can follow all the games. I'm just not paying anymore for TV or for internet streaming. So I've heard The Mandalorian is getting good reviews and I heard it got renewed for season 2 and that's great, but I'm not watching it right now.
Colin wants to know, what's your Super Bowl prediction? Just kidding, he says. With the arrival of the new year, what are some things you're looking forward to in 2020?
Really excited about some of the big trips I have coming up on the horizon. So, of course, Miami. 3 weeks from now, we will be in Miami for our run of Super Bowl shows and be on Radio Row. We're already planning that. And I know that's a work trip, but it's still pretty exciting to take our show to Radio Row. And then after that, speaking of Disney, after that, in April, right after my birthday, a friend and I are running the Star Wars Half Marathon at Disney. So we will be there. Now, it's early, early in the morning, but theoretically, supposedly, the route will take us through the new Disney portion of the park. And so we're excited about that. It's another challenge. Be a year since I ran my last half marathon. So I'm excited about doing that. And then in May, I'll take my regular week off and go to the beach. Although I have a new beach location and a new Airbnb booked for a week. Penny and I are taking our May vacation. So those are some of the things I have planned also hoping to recruit another team to take to Cuba and to do another youth week in the summertime. Got some people who are planning on coming to visit me. So yeah, usually my excitement, my great anticipation revolves around trips and travel and going to new places. And so that's generally what I look forward to.
So one of the most interesting things, at least from my perspective, about doing Ask Amy Anything every week is when things come up multiple times organically. When multiple people ask random questions out of the blue and it's the same question. So this week we had one about fishing for whatever reason.
Okay.
Multiple people want to know, what is your history with fishing?
Oh my gosh. Well, I love fishing and I love to eat fish. But I haven't done it a lot since I was a kid because I had a little fishing pole. My brother and I were standing on the side of the lake. We grew up in New Hampshire, lots of lakes. And I hooked a fish. I didn't actually catch him. I hooked a fish and it was a big fish. And as I was trying to reel him in, my pole broke in half and the fish swam away with my pole. I was so devastated that I didn't fish for quite a long time. No, I do love fishing. It's actually funny because when I was a kid, I couldn't be quiet. You know what they say about fishing is that if you talk too much, you scare the fish. But I can be quiet now. And I love the water. I love anything to do with boats. And so, yes, I do enjoy fishing.
We'll go to David next. He wants to know, what are some...
Wait, was there a second question about fishing?
Yeah, they were both kind of the same. Just your general philosophy and thoughts.
So we just killed two fish with one pole?
Yeah, hey, there she is. Zing, zing, zing. We'll go to David next. He wants to know, what are some of your favorite flavors to add to a drink? He uses the example of
coffee. Vanilla!
Vanilla creamer is the example he used, and peppermint to hot chocolate.
Okay, not creamer, just vanilla. So for instance, if I get a Dr. Pepper at Sonic with, the Sonic Ice. I love the Sonic Ice. I like to add vanilla to it. When I do, I don't generally drink alcohol. In fact, if I have two or three drinks a year, it's probably what I do. But when I do have rum and Coke, I like to have coconut rum. So coconut and vanilla are the two things that I like to add to drinks if I can. Also pumpkin. I mean, there's never a bad time to have pumpkin, but my mom left a single serve Keurig. So my mother couldn't come to my house and actually brew coffee. She had to bring a single serve Keurig machine with her because that's how she does her coffee, and she left it behind. So I do have now some pumpkin spice coffee that I'm adding to my regular cold brew. So pumpkin, coconut, vanilla. Those are my three add-on flavors.
T-Mac wants to know, so what do you think about the 16-day pause between the semifinal and the national championship game? Are you still excited, or has it dulled your excitement a little bit?
Well, no, I'm not excited. I'll get excited after we get through divisional round. I was excited when we had the semifinals, and that's all disappeared in the wake of everything else that's going on. So personally, I think it's too long. Maybe it's because they want the players to be fresh, and I mean, these are kids, for heaven's sakes. I have no idea why they stretched it out. Maybe they did research and thought they could make more money and charge more money for advertising if they wait another week. I think it's dumb. I think you should build on the momentum you have from those national semifinals, and certainly the second game between, gosh, don't tell me, Ohio State and Clemson, right? That was the second game. That one was so much excitement that went down to the wire. I feel like they would have been better served by having that game the first Monday in the new year like we'd seen in the past.
James wants to know, would you ever consider going parasailing?
I've done parasailing. Yes, absolutely. I loved it. My nieces and I have photos and everything else. It was exhilarating. My nieces and I went parasailing when we did a family vacation in the Outer Banks in North Carolina I think it was 2012, if I'm not mistaken. My bucket list parasailing item, though, is Lake Tahoe. Parasailing on Lake Tahoe. So that is, I've never been to Lake Tahoe, just like I've never been to Vegas. But parasailing on Lake Tahoe is a very specific bucket list item for my life.
Michael also has a travel-related question. He wants to know, have you ever encountered the Northern Lights in your travels?
I haven't. I've seen lots of video, lots of movies in which the Northern Lights are documented or included. One of my favorite is Eight Below. That's the movie about the sled dogs, right? That get left behind and their handler goes back to get them. And I did travel to Alaska once on a cruise, which was phenomenal. But we didn't go far enough north in Alaska. We were essentially in the southwest parts of Alaska along the coast. And so we didn't get far enough up. But that's also something that I would love, love, love to see in person. The North Pole. Northern Lights at the North Pole.
David wants to know, do you have any interest in hosting a sports TV show?
No, not really. I mean, if it would help the radio show, I might do it once. And I never back down from a new challenge. But on a regular basis, no. TV is far too high maintenance for me. And people don't believe me. They tell me all the time, when are you going to make the jump to TV? The only TV that I would ever do on a regular basis, unless someone's going to pay me $70 million, would be basketball and TV. So I'm working on my TV play-by-play for basketball. I've always been a radio play-by-play announcer, but I recognize that I need to have both skills. And so the last 3 years, I've been working on my TV play-by-play. So I'm becoming more comfortable with it, but I will always be a radio host at heart.
Michael wants to know, and he uses an example of something we've been talking about tonight with the Red Sox being accused of sign stealing. He wants to know, do you believe in permanent bans in sports? Should anyone be banned for life if they do X?
Sign stealing, no. Crimes, yes. I mean, I'm on board with Major League Baseball's domestic violence policy and the fact that it gets more stringent. Same thing with the NFL. I do believe in second chances. I think that we're a society that values second chances. In many cases, they can be really valuable. But I think for crimes, especially violent crimes, you only get one second chance and then you should be out. You shouldn't have the privilege of being able to play anymore at a professional level. But in terms of competitive advantage, especially something like this, even with steroids or performance-enhancing drugs, guys get multiple chances. So, and I really don't like the death penalty in college because I feel like it's so difficult to rebuild from the ground up in college that it's too hefty of a penalty.
All right, last question is going to be from me. We've been talking
from
tonight.
You?
Yes, we've been talking tonight a lot about 2020, some goals, some things we're looking forward to. What is your biggest accomplishment or goal that you're proud of from last year?
Oh my gosh. Well, the trip to Cuba was phenomenal. It was my second year leading. I felt like I did a lot better of a job leading than I had the year before, and I took a much bigger team, and it really went seamlessly. And so I'm proud of the work we did with the youth there in Cuba. And I'm also really proud of the fact that I was able to, because I practiced for multiple years, then speak Spanish fluently enough that I didn't need someone to help me. So those were two things that I really was proud of. Really proud of the work that we've done here on the show. Obviously, Chris knows this. Dave just started on the show last year, so it was a year of transition early on. And yet we went to Atlanta and we did some incredible work there. And we continue to build our affiliate numbers as well as our social media numbers are up, 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 up. But I would say my favorite thing about 2019 was being able to host the family for 10 days over the holidays. That was awesome. It was just the perfect ending to the year. And as they left on New Year's Day, I cried my eyes out because my house was so empty. But yeah, that was really fun. It was everything I wanted it to be and more. So thank you for asking. All right, we got 1 hour to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.